Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. For a taste of what's to come in this next segment, here's a short clip from a comedy show at the Skinny Pancake in Burlington back in late November.
And so I'm a bit of an enigma, right? Like, people, they don't really know what's happening. They don't really know what to say. But that doesn't stop them.
That's Tina Frimmel. And at age 24, she's pretty new to the local comedy scene, but she's quickly gained popularity for her unique and almost taboo style. She avoids some of the more typical comic fodder like familial relationships, dating, and workplace wit. Instead, Tina jokes about what it's like to live with a disability and how others behave around her. She's been performing stand-up for about a year, and in that time, she's been featured in 5 showcases at the Vermont Comedy Club, performed at the Boston Comedy Arts Festival, Boston Comedy Chicks, even co-launched a monthly comedy and variety show called Casual Friday Live at the Marquee Theater in Middlebury. She joined me in the studio in December to discuss why she took this approach and what brought her to comedy.
Like a lot of comedians, I kind of accidentally got into comedy. I grew up around theater, mainly. My mom and dad have always been a big part of the theater scene in Middlebury. I was in a lot of theater in high school, but not so much in college. I kind of realized I could never be, you know, a professional actress because it would be very hard to find a role that, you know, I mean, there aren't a lot of disabled roles, and I couldn't exactly talk my way into having it be like a creative addition or whatever.
She's never really been into television or movies. She's all about live performance. But she never really considered comedy to be part of that mix until she attended the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal about 2 years ago.
I never got into a comedy show ever in my life, and there were just tears streaming down my face. And suddenly it hit me that there's this huge industry of live entertainment, which I'm obsessed with. And it took me about a year after that, actually, to actually get the thought, maybe I could do this.
And so she did. Tina described always having an unnatural sense of confidence, and that's what made her take the leap.
Basically, I kind of quietly signed up for a stand-up one comedy class at the Vermont Comedy Club.
And she loved it. She had the chance to be up on stage without having to rely on anyone else to cast her into a role. It offered a taste of acting.
I keep going back and forth between whether it's acting or not, because you are yourself, and yet you are acting, but the character is what I call like a 110% you. It's your personality a bit amplified.
Tina has a joke that starts out her set that both puts her audience on notice and disarms them at the same time. Here she is in Burlington last November.
How's it going, guys? So, yeah, I guess introductions to start. I'm Tina, and I'm disabled. But don't worry, like, you're going to be okay.
How does that joke usually play?
Really well. And when I began comedy, at the very beginning, I did one open mic, and I didn't talk about disability at all. I talked about, like, a fairy. And
a fairy?
A fairy, yeah. And no one got it. No one laughed. And then I remember, I think the second week in the class, I came with 5 whole new minutes. And that joke that I just told, that was how I opened up. And that was actually the first real laugh that I've ever gotten.
Hmm.
It was day and night. And I suddenly realized that was kind of the mold to break, to go right at what people were thinking. I realized if I tried to avoid the elephant in the room, people will be so distracted, wondering if I'm, drunk, if I'm, not all there, what's happening. But if I go right for it, I remember really clearly the first time I told it, there was this break of laughter, like tension suddenly, like a dam, just suddenly people could relax and could, as if they were really holding all their thoughts in and suddenly being like, oh, thank goodness. Okay, she said it.
Well, it's, in listening to your set, it is kind of remarkable because it's disarming in a way. And then it allows people not to think about the way you speak or something like that, because you're acknowledging it at the beginning. And then it's almost like it has a diminished role in how people see your set. But I could also imagine feeling like people are laughing at you. So how do you, in your own emotions, balance that desire to make people laugh about something that's a physical characteristic, but not then feel like they're laughing at you or making you different?
The way that I kind of write the jokes, I never make, I rarely make fun of actually myself for being disabled. I have met a number of comics who have a disability, or literally have what I have, which is cerebral palsy. And they will go straight for, making fun of themselves, that kind of, they'll say it before anyone else can. So they kind of put up their own shield. I tend to make fun of people reacting to me being disabled. After the initial "you'll be okay" joke, I then kind of go on to talk about, things that people have said to me in high school or at bars, or compliments that have good intentions, but at the same time, they're very kind of off-putting. And
hurtful and insulting.
Exactly. I realized early on that that's the kind of humor that I want. I don't want to put people down. I don't want to put me down. I just kind of want to get everyone on the same page and let it go.
You have another joke, though, about being at a bar, and it's very funny, but it is more in the vein of making fun of yourself in some way.
I go out a lot, and I usually judge a place based on what they think I'm on, I'm kind of trick questions about shows. I'm a bit of a riddle, like my mouth says booze, but like my hands say cocaine. What am I?
And that really happens? You go out and the bouncers are wondering if you're on something?
All the time. a few times I've almost not been let into a bar. Or I've had to awkwardly ask, a person behind me who are barely new, have them verify that I am like this all the time.
So you're still pretty new at this, and this was a new entry point into performing. What are your comedy goals? I mean, is this like the career you want to have? Is this always going to be sort of a side hustle for you?
About 3 months ago, I kind of realized it's a bit like falling in love. It's, I said, okay, comedy, like, we've been kind of seeing each other for about a year now. And I realized that it's the one. I've never gotten more joy and more honest success doing anything else other than this. And I realize now how versatile being a comedian could be, because if you're a stand-up, it's not stagnant. You can then go on to becoming a TV writer or a producer or an actress. I have a really bad habit of trying to plan life. And for the past decade, I've tried to plan to become this musician, and now realizing that comedy is more the way that I'm looking to go, and having that unknown of where I could end up, like, I could continue to do this or not. Or sort of. I love that now.
Well, Tina, I wish you and comedy a lifetime of happiness together in your new love. And I really appreciate you speaking with us today. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much.